Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Let me ask you a question. If I ask you, who are you? So simple. How would you answer me? Would you just give me your name? If you go to some shops or go to some government places or go to Surface New South Wales, when you come forward, people will ask, show me your ID, show me your and the ID has your name, or even they may put down your driver license number. So people, how do you want people to know you? You just give me your name? Or put it in another way, if one day I died, I have a tombstone. What would people put on that tombstone? Is it just my name? Doesn't tell any important information about that, isn't it? Just the name. But actually, Paul Lee, and then who is Paul Lee? No one knows, no one cares about who is Paul Lee. So it's just not a name. You are not a number, but who are you? My father died a few months ago, and on the tombstone, not just his name, on the tombstone, it also speaks about the family. He is the beloved husband of my mom. He is the father, a loving father of all the children. So we can see you are not only known by your name, you are also known by your relationship. You are also known to the family you belong to. So I can imagine if I ask Tim Tan, we may know him. Oh, he's the son of Xu Yong. He's the son of his mother's name, and the brother of Tiana. So we know him by his relationship with the others, isn't it? So the relationship lasts. You see, you may be an accountant, you may be a doctor, you may be something important, but on your tombstone, what would you put there? What is important to you? Think about this. You may be doing a lot of works trying to get a degree, or one day you become a doctor or an accountant trying to get some qualification. You may want people to know you by your work. You belong to something, so not just a name. If I pick up a part, a metal part, you may think, what does this part goes to? Oh, this belongs to a machine. This machine can do something. So this little part is not just metal. This little metal works in this machine, so the whole machine can do another job. And this job can affect a lot of things. Imagine this is a screw in an atomic bomb, see? So this screw is just metal, but this screw works in this machine or a bomb, and this bomb can change a lot of things, isn't it? So you are not known by, well, I'm just a man with eyes. Not just a piece of metal, but what is the role of you? What is your responsibility? You know, if you were a soldier, people will know, I belong to which corps, and each corps have 50 to 10,000, 100,000 men. In each corps, there are divisions. 10,000 to 20,000 men in one division, and smaller, they divided into brigade or regiment or battalion, about 1,000 to 3,000 soldiers in one battalion. And they split it up into smaller, into a platoon or a squad with 8 to 12 people in a squad. So I think each soldier knows which squad he belongs to. Each soldier knows, oh, your role. Are you the driver? Are you the cook in the army? Or are you the pilot? Each soldier not only say, I'm a soldier. They know their role, they know their job, they know their responsibility in the whole army. In the army, there are different, there are corporal, lieutenant, captain, colonel, general, field marshal. So many, the whole army divides into many sections, isn't it? So each soldier know their position. They can tell you specifically, my responsibility is driving this truck. They even though they are driving the truck, they know their role is fighting the war, fighting the battle. We are in the army of God. Remember in Middle East today, the Israelites say, oh, we have to save the hostages in the army territory. They want to save them. So we, being the army of God, God put us here on earth to save salvation. We need to save the hostages, people captured by the enemy. So we have a duty here. So my dream is not to be, oh, I want to be a dentist, I want to be a surgeon, I want to be an artist, I want to be a singer. No, my dream is not about me doing, filling my dream. My position, my role. I will ask myself, what is my role? God, you put me here today in Calaville with brothers and sisters here. What is my role to them? What is my relationship to Tim? What is my relationship to Caleb? What is my relationship to Jessica? How do I relate to the people around me? Just like that soldier, he may be a cook in a certain squad or in a certain region, but he knows his role. He's not just doing cooking. He knows his, in his heart, his mind is, I'm part of this army. We have a mission here. We want to extend our kingdom. We want to do our job to deliver, to save the hostages. So each mission, each soldier have a clear thing in their mind. The cook, when he's doing his job, he won't, oh, I wish I were a singer going somewhere else, doing a lot of concert. No. When he knows his post, his position is as a cook, he will be faithfully, loyally doing his job there. He won't waste his time. So the question is, how about you? You sit here, God put you here. What is your role? Are you fulfilling what you are supposed to do? Or you are just every day sitting, every week sitting here dreaming, waiting for the sermon to finish and go home? What is your role here? What is your relationship with the sitting to the one next to you? Do you have an impact to them? Or you just have some fun with your friends? Who are you? My girl liked to play netball. So when she was young, playing, went to the netball games. I saw each one have a a sign on the chest, GA, GS, go shooter, go what? Attack, yes, something like that. Or center, my daughter is playing center. Each one know his position. Each one know his role. When they are in the field, they pass the ball, they run. Everyone knows what they are doing. They focus on doing their job. How about you? When you sit here, what is your position? Who are you? You say you belong, you come to Calvary to worship every Sunday. What is your role here? How do you relate? Have you been functioning, doing what you should do? Or you are just wasting time here? So we must have a clear understanding, clear role, that God, not only God is real, God put you here. There is a purpose. You have something to offer. You have something to give. Have you done that? In Ephesians, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. Now, if you are not a believer, we welcome you here. To us, you are a guest. But in fact, you are just foreigners. You are not in the family of God yet. We welcome you as guests, but still, you won't feel you are at home. You feel you are strangers here. How many are you are strangers? I won't ask you to put up your hand. But until you come to Christ, you become fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. So once you receive Christ, my friend, dear visitors, honorable guests, I hope one day everyone sits here, become a member of his household. We become the family of God. So I hope now, look at, you have to feel the people around you. We are not just, I come to listen to message, or he comes to message, he comes to the meeting, she comes to the meeting, we just listen to this message together. No. Do you feel that we are belongs to the family of God? Long time ago, someone teach me this song. I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. Now, I like that song. We are the family of God. From then on, I know I'm not just coming for the meeting. This is the family I belong to. So when on my tombstone, there's not just a name. I belong to a family of God. I came to here. We are. Look at me as your brother. And in Romans chapter 1 to 8, remember what Neil taught. Talk about Romans chapter 1 to 8. In the beginning, he talked about sinners. People are in sin. And then these sinners become, because of they believe in Christ, they become justified. And now, not only justified, they follow the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit separate them from the world. They live differently. Their lives sanctified, separate apart for God. And the Holy Spirit will keep on changing them until they change into the likeness of God. They become like Jesus, glorified. So from Romans chapter 1 to 8, it talks about how a sinner, step by step, becomes like Christ. But that's not the end. In chapter 9 to 11, talks about how about Israelites. Then they talk about Israelites. But when we come back to chapter 12, how does it continue? Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in chapter 12, therefore, there's a new beginning. So the highlight is not just a glorified individual, but this individual, he is offering up himself as a living sacrifice. It's no longer I. Then what happens? This is right in God's sight. This is how we serve Him. And once we offer up ourselves, our mind will be transformed. In the past, we just think about my way, my life, my dream, my goal. I want to do this. I want to go there. This is my dream. But once you offer yourself, now you have a new mind. What does that new mind lead us to? It then moves to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Now, what is the renewing of your mind? You don't think yourself too high. What is the than he ought to think? What should we ought to think? But to think soberly. Think, have a right mind. Think clearly. Look at yourself with a new perspective in life. As God had dealt to each one a measure of faith. Go on, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Now, this is what I want to point out to you. This glorified individual in chapter 8, when he offered himself, now he realized, he has his eye opened. He suddenly realized, I'm no longer just an individual. I belong to a body. I belong to the body, a member of the body of Christ. So suddenly, this one is no longer self-focused, always my individual. Suddenly, I belong to this body of Christ. You become a member of this body. So how does that affect you? You know, it's so different when you play some games like us. If you play, say, tennis or table tennis or some game, it's only played by yourself. Sometimes you play double, of course. But some games, a team, like soccer or basketball, you are no longer an individual. If you think about the whole team, so when the whole team attack, you will always keep the ball to yourself. You will pass the ball to someone in a better position. And then that person will keep on pass. Maybe pass to someone who is a good shooter. And then the one who shoot and get the point. You see? So your mind, instead of individual, you become a team mind, team spirit. So the team spirit is so important. If everyone think of to show off his skill, not passing the ball, then the whole team will ruin. But if you have a team spirit, you know you will pass the ball. Give other chances. When he scored, you scored. We scored. When someone scored, yes, good point, good shoot, good shot. This is for the whole team. You're thinking about the whole team. If you play in the ball games like that, the coach must and make sure everybody thinks like that. Team spirit. So there will be no jealousy if you are in a body. Oh, Jessica can play piano so well. Well, okay, but I can't. I'm jealous of her. Will I be jealous? No. If your mom is a good cook, will you be jealous? No, my mom is a good cook. I'd rather she be a better cook, the best cook, than what she cooks is good for us. So no jealousy. Would you be, oh, I'm no use. I'm no use. I'm not as good as her. Oh, I can't be a good song leader. He's doing so well. She is doing so well. I'm no good. I'm no use. You have self-pity. Oh, I don't have any skin. I'm insignificant. You feel sorry for yourself. If you are in a body, would you feel sorry for yourself? My little finger is not as strong as this one. It's not as strong as this one. It's not as strong as this one. But this little finger never self, I'm useless. This is stronger. My thumb is stronger than the little finger. But this thumb never said, ha, 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 I'm the best. I'm the strongest. No. No boasting. No self-pity. Oh, I have to do something else to show people I'm good. So try every opportunity to show off, to make sure everybody notice my little finger. No. You won't do that. You won't do, as if you are not accepted yourself, always look for an opportunity to show off yourself, to seek approval from others. Some people feel, oh, he can pray so well, she can pray so well, I don't know how to pray, I dare not how to pray. Oh, therefore I do not pray. Because you are always comparing to others. I'm not as good as him, so I better do nothing. I'm not as good as she, I better do nothing. So this finger, because he thinks he's not as strong as the other four, he do nothing, so I can only use four fingers, which is not so good. Even though you are not the best, but still you function because you are in a body. I don't care if I'm the first, I'm the best one, but I will do my part, brothers and sisters. My prayer may not be the best prayer. Nobody remembers me. I don't care, but this is my job in the body. So I will offer my prayer. For example, there are five people who prayed. Oh, he has a strong prayer. He has a long prayer. Oh, his prayer is okay, but mine is the shortest, the insignificant prayer. No, I will still do it. Because if God touched my heart, I will still do my part. This is the team spirit. This is the body spirit. This is how we should live among brothers and sisters. So if you change, if you offer yourself, I'm no longer. God put me in a body. God put you here in a body. Then what should you do with yourself? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Every part, every body has gifts. And what does it tell us? Let us use them. Use them. Use them. So what is disciple training? Disciple training is use them. Use what God has given to you. Don't hold back because you feel you are not as good as brother so-and-so. Don't hold back because you are not the best. Still, you may not be the best, but let us use them. What God has given you, use it. Use them. If prophecy, use them. For ministry, serving, use them. Teaching, teach. Who exalts in exaltation? He who gives, give liberally. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So, this is the body life. When you realize God put you here in Calaville, your relationship with brothers and sisters, use your gifts to serve them. This is why you are here. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be an accountant or surgeon or someone who pulls straight but never function in the body. God can't use you. I can use this finger. I don't need it to change into a gold little finger. Then I can use it. Just be be true to yourself. Be who you are. You can serve. I don't want it to change into metal, gold, no use, silver, no use. I want it flesh and blood. So be yourself. Let God use you. And then you can affect, be a blessing to the brothers and sisters today who sit next to you. So what is family life? Now, if I ask you to describe your family life, okay, after school, I go home and then go back into my room and watching your iPad or doing work. So I don't know. If your family life is just go home, dinner time, I come out to eat. And at night time, you sleep in your own bed. So what is family life? Family life is I go home, relax, eat, and sleep. Is that family life? You're describing the activity. Well, I eat with my family, and then I sleep under one roof. Is that family life? What's the difference when you go to studying abroad in a boarding school? You eat with your other people, sleep under the same roof. Does it make that a family? No, it's not the activities you do makes you a family. How about the relationship? If you are always hiding in your room, never talk to your parents, sometimes I try to talk to my kids, how's school today? Good. Full stop. Is that it? Is that family? I want something more. But sometimes the parents need to be blamed themselves as well. They don't know how, nagging all the time sometimes. Are they talking? Are there communication? Are there encouraging words to your family? It's about relationship. Do you comfort your family? Oh, mom, you have a hard day at work. Let me help you to do some chores. Are you showing love? Now, this is more than activity. This is about relationship. So when you're with your family, ask yourself, am I showing encouragement, comfort, serving them, loving them, accepting them? Or I nagging them all the time, criticizing them, you are not good enough, only 90, how about, why can't you make 100, score, get 100 marks? Are you affirming them, oh, you have done a good job, or you are criticizing them, therefore they feel insecure, always afraid of dad and mom criticizing them, so they don't tell you much about what happens at school. They don't want you to teach them, blah, 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 blah. So ask yourself, do you show care and support to your family rather than just blaming them, demanding them? Are you showing care and support? Is this relationship strengthened or weakened by what you do? Ask yourself. So even though you are among brothers and sisters, if you are criticizing, he's no good, he's no good, he's no good, yeah, you are in a family, but you are trying to break the relationship. Or are you encouraging brothers and sisters? Do you care about the brothers and sisters next to you? Now, 2 weeks ago, is it 2 weeks? About a week ago, I went to Europe with my family. We went to Austria, Germany, and then Switzerland. The views are beautiful. I take many good, beautiful pictures. The lake is beautiful. I climbed the Alps. Wow, the view is stunning, majestic view of the Alps. After taking more than 1,000 pictures, I pick this to share with my family. I say, this picture really is the best picture that touched my heart. Why? That's a part of the Alps, of course, the top. But notice this tree, people walking there.
this is me.
They told me it's very cold that day, so I put on a lot of clothes, and I put on a bag with all the food and the bottle of waters. Now I'm quite old, so as I climbed the Alps, I tried to give up. Oh, this is too difficult. After 10 minutes journey, I say, maybe you guys go ahead, I can't make it. And then my daughter say, come on, Dad, you can make it. Let's go slower. Okay, and then after walking for an hour, I walked for 16 kilometers that day. To me, that's too much. As if I climbed 170 floors, according to the Fitbit, it tells me, as if you have climbed 170 floors. So, oh, so tired. So my daughters, Dad, let me help to carry your bag. So this blue bag, you should be here, but now she comes to my daughter. And then my coat was a very heavy coat, and then my older daughter said, Dad, it's so heavy, let me help you to carry. So she is carrying my jacket, she is carrying my backpack. So this old man, so weak. If you belong to this family, you can criticize him. Dad, I told you to do more exercise. Now you see you can't walk. Oh, you're a burden to us. You spoil our fun. No, my family did not say something like that. They are so sweet. So that's why I say this picture really warms my heart. My wife take a picture showing the history. I feel I'm supported. I'm being loved by my family. They help me, they support me. Now, this is family life. Support, care, understanding, help. So, it's not the beauty of the Alps. It's the acceptance, it's the warmth in my family that touched my heart. Oh, this is so sweet. So I write, after the trip, I write them letters and thanking them, encouraging them as well. And after receiving my letters, my daughter said, oh, that was a sweet letter. So I encourage them as well. Not just I receive support, I give them support. I show them appreciation for accepting me. So this is the family life I'm talking about. Yes, we spend time playing board games together. Yes, we spend time. Oh, sorry, did I go over? No. We spend time together, try to understand each other. Yet I leave them some space. I know that something they don't want to talk about. I'll give them space. Yes, but this is the family life I'm talking about. Not activities, not walking together, but during this walk, there's love. There's acceptance. There's forbearing. This is the family life everyone wants. Do you want your family to love you, care about you, support you? Do the same to others. Do the same. So what is body life? Similar. It's not just activity. So you are not just coming here, listening to sermon, and then go home, or just playing piano and then go home. Not just the activity we are doing that makes a body life. Usually when I talk about church life, oh, church life is going to Sunday morning, going to church, singing hymns, listening to sermon, oh, good, that's a good sermon, oh, learn something and then go home. Church life is not about just you getting something going home. Church life is not just about you. Church life is about relationship. So Paul did not write down, church life is, we have meeting at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. We have the breaking of bread at certain o'clock. And then someone is going to share for an hour, teaching which book. And then meeting ends, everybody goes home. No, Paul did not mention about, did not set, give us a pattern of the meeting. Instead, when he talked about church, he talked about relationship. He talked about all these words last time I've shown to you. Shows, affection. Wrong typing error. Give preference to others. Show love. How you receive one another. Be kind to one another. Forgiving one another. Encouraging one another. Sharing with one another. Comfort one another. Shows compassion to one another. Ministering to one another. So when you look at Paul, how Paul described church life, he used all these words. To one another. So it's not about the activity. It's about relationship. It's about how you relate to brothers and sisters here today. Yes, you can easily love, oh, the brothers and sisters in San Francisco, they are so nice. Oh, the brothers and sisters in somewhere else, they are good, they are so passionate for the Lord. But here around us, look at him, so weak. Now, you criticize? No. This is the family God put you here. Be a blessing to the brothers and sisters. Love them. Try to know them. Serve them. Care about them. This is the church life. You don't have to get good, big qualification in order to be a blessing to others. If I study a theology, get a field degree, a master, doctor in Old Testament, would I be a blessing to you today? Not necessary. If you love brothers and sisters, serve them out of genuine love, you are being a blessing. Let us use them. Use the gifts God has given you to serve brothers and sisters. So I hope you are not just saved. I hope your mind changed. Realized you become a body, a member of the body of Christ. And you love brothers and sisters. Have relationship. Good relationship. Build up one another in Christ. Now this is the call for you today in Christ. I hope I make this clear. And for encouraging brothers and sisters, I have something for you from Switzerland. But be sure you are not have any allergy to nuts. And don't give to young kids in case they have an allergy. Okay? If you know you don't have allergy, please come and feel free to take some. This is for my family here. Okay, come and take one after the meeting. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we belong to your family. You saved us. We pray that teach us to know how to love and serve one another in Christ. Help us to do our role, our part, as we are a member of the body of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.